You buy a large asset every couple of years, and as long as you keep adding more new assets, new apartment buildings to the mix, you can continue to accumulate depreciation and the party goes on. If you buy one asset in a couple of years, that depreciation is going to expire and your income is going to outpace your depreciation. So the key is to continue to buy, to continue to refi these assets, because then you're getting a loan, which is going to save on taxes as well. It's not a sale. You don't want to sell your assets. You want to refi them to get the money via refi when you've improved it. That's one mechanism. And then continue to buy more so the party continues going on. Hello, Brody Gingino here, and today we're discussing ways to lessen your tax burden through apartment investing. Gang, it's tax season, and apartment investing is a great way to lessen your federal income tax. But let's be clear, you ain't getting free. You ain't escaping the tax man. We pay a ton in taxes. We pay plenty of property tax. Possibly you could be paying franchise and excise tax and sales tax, but apartment investing is a great way to offset that federal income tax with depreciation. And a wise man once said, this is what my Papa G-Funk told me. A wise man once said, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And we are going to help you keep more of your hard-earned money in this episode. So, Mr. G-Daddy, please break down the ways to save on taxes via apartment investing. Sir, thank you.
Wow, that intro really demands a like. I mean, if you're listening to this,
step up to the plate, Don Mattingly.
Give us a little like, subscribe to the channel, because what we're going to be discussing in the next 10 minutes can be life-changing for a lot of the people listening out there. The average American...
It was for me, that's for sure, when we started.
Totally life-changing. The average American, 35% of their income goes to taxes.
Wait. Federal income tax, probably. Is that totality?
This is federal. So okay. You make $1,300,000, $480,000 of the money you've earned over your lifetime, the average American is gone. Is gone. Completely gone.
To that one tax, though, I mean, there's a million other ways they're going to get you. So
that is total taxes. We're talking in the totality, not just federal. Okay. Everything. Okay. So if you make a dollar, 35 cents of that is completely gone.
Because I know federal, folks in New York City are probably closer to 55%.
So let me get to it. The top 50% paid 97.7% of all the federal income taxes.
I didn't hear you.
In 2020.
What did you just say?
The top 50% of earners paid almost the entire federal tax in 2020.
Sounds like their back hurts.
The top 1% paid 42.3%. Think about that. So that this show is for those people, for people actually paying taxes, right?
They're carrying their weight, huh? Holy
There's
shit.
There's a lot of them. And I'm going to really break this down, because when I heard this on TV, I almost wanted to vomit. And it was just so sickening to me, because we never think about it. If you're paying 35% of all your money goes to taxes, you're basically working until May 1st for the government. So the first 4 months, we're in month three, baby. You still haven't gotten a
nickel. You're not even
in your
working
pocket.
For the government anymore. You're working for Ukraine, baby. Half that's going to Ukraine right now, right?
Wherever it's going, I don't give a shit where it's going. It ain't going in Jake and Gino's pocket, and it ain't going in your pocket. So if you're paying 35% of your income, what's going on?
Hold on, Gino. You know how laundering works, right? Money laundering. It's going to Ukraine, and then it's going back to people on like little offshore shit. So it's not even the poor folks of Ukraine, man. It's not even fair. You know they're laundering that shit, scumbags.
The whole point of it is there's certain things that people who are wealthy do that people who aren't wealthy. Now, the tax code was written to stimulate behavior, right? And there are no such things as loopholes. They're in the tax code. There's like over 70,000 pages of code, and like 69,000 of them are ways that you can avoid taxes. Not evade taxes. That's illegal. Avoid taxes legally.
You're following the law, but they're painting you to be like a criminal using a loophole.
Absolutely.
Is it the law or is it not the law?
Okay. It's the law. Play the game. And most of us don't realize it. I didn't realize it.
Educate yourself and play the game. Stop bitching.
That's
Boom.
Right. So what happened? 2008, read the book T. Harv Eker. Meet Jake. I'm like, I'm getting crushed here. New York, unemployment, FUTA, workman's comp. I'm paying all these damn taxes. I got a small business. I have no advantage. You know what they tell you nowadays to save on taxes? Funnel up. Put the money in 401ks. Do 529s. That's not That's not saving on your taxes. That's, for the most part, deferring taxes.
That's a money concentration camp.
You want your baby bunny soldiers to go there and die. You're not paying on the seed. You're paying on the harvest, which is worse. You're just kicking the can down the road like the government. You don't want that to happen, because what's going to happen is taxes are rising. You see Biden's new budget? Yeah, great budget. What's going on with them taxes? They're not going down. They're going up. So pay them today so you don't have to pay them tomorrow. But how are we going to avoid them? First one, cost segregation. Very simple. As real estate investors, if you have the real estate professional designation, it's an absolute home run. Not going to go into it in this podcast.
So, Gino, you buy an apartment building, and as a real estate professional, you get a cost segregation study, very affordable, maybe $4,000 or $5,000, something like that. And then that accelerates your depreciation on that apartment building, correct?
Macro Accelerated Cost Recovery System.
Damn, that's so sexy.
You like
dirty? Talk dirty to me. Talk dirty to me.
Bro, man, talk dirty. Isn't it nice that money you save? And what happens is you get to this asset, and this asset, the multifamily, the home, has different components. The lives of these components, whether it's a roof, whether it's driveways, whether it's these fixtures we're looking at, they are segregated into different buckets, whether it's a 5-year bucket, 10-year bucket, 15-year bucket, or the 27.5-year bucket. They're segregated into those buckets. You're able to put them and depreciate them alongside that. So obviously, I'm not sure what the flooring is, but let's say flooring lasts 10 years. They're going to put that in the 10-year bucket, and they're going to depreciate over 10 years. But what the Jobs Act did was you're able to actually accelerate that, those 5, 10, and 15 years, those shorter components, all on day one. Now, in 2022, you're able to, you know, write that off 100%. Now it's at 80%. But can you imagine, on an asset, on average, you're able to depreciate between 20 and 25% of that total asset value. On average, we're not here. We're not accountants. This is not the rule of law. Go Google it. Find a cost segregation special.
Get an expert. It's a team sport. We're just telling you what people are doing.
This is an engineered study. Exactly. If you want to have no problems with the IRS, you go find a company like the ones that we use. If you want to find out who we're using, email me, Gino at jakeandgino.com. I'll hook you up, because it's really important that you go with a professional who's done thousands and thousands of studies. This is really, you want something that is really, you know, beholden to the law and follows the law. But these things will set you free, because what you're doing is you're depreciating the property. You're able to write it off. And what you're doing, as we are real estate professionals, because we have the designation, we're able to write off all of those losses against our active income. Now, if you can't qualify, you're still getting passive income versus passive losses. So if you have an asset that's cash flowing, you're able to write off that cash flow. So think about that as well. It's an amazing tool to be able to use that. So Google real estate professional, Google cost segregation, do more research. But I don't want to hear you complaining that, oh, Trump or oh, Biden doesn't pay taxes. You know why? Because they're using cost segregation on anything that they own, Jake.
They wrote the playbook. They're playing the playbook. They're running the game. Hey, here's actually how it works in practice. You buy a large asset every couple years, and as long as you keep adding more new assets, new apartment buildings to the mix, you can continue to accumulate depreciation, and the party goes on. If you buy one asset in a couple years, that depreciation is going to expire, and your income is going to outpace your depreciation. So the key is to continue to buy, to continue to refi these assets, because then you're getting a loan, which is going to save on taxes as well. It's not a sale. You don't want to sell your assets. You want to refi them to get the money via refi when you've improved it. That's one mechanism. And then continue to buy more so the party continues going on.
Number two, 1031. Like Jake said, if you do have to sell, you can perform
don't
a
do
1031.
It.
You roll up, but only if you find another asset and you're rolling into another asset.
That's right.
1031 is the second one. The third one, real simple. You live in a home, you're house hacking, you're able to live in that home for 2 of the 5 years, you're able to save $250,000 if you're single, or $500,000. I know people that have house hacked their way to wealth by selling their personal home and not paying any capital gains. That is amazing when you're starting out. Imagine buying a home for $200,000. 4 years later, it's worth $500,000. You've accumulated $300,000 in equity on that house. Guess what? You and your wife are married. You sell it. You don't pay any capital gains on that. You know how many pizzas it takes to make $300,000? Lots of pizzas. Years and years of pizzas. So if you can do that with
one
home.
I wish I could get a good slice around here.
Dude,
you're making me hungry right now.
So think about that. 1031. And selling the home. And the last one, start a business. If you start a business, all of a sudden, this cell phone becomes a write-off. The computers that we use become a write-off. Zoom, everything that you use for your business becomes a write-off. Oh, you have a home office. Write that off. Oh, you got kids working for you. Write that off. I mean, let the kids work for you. And that's what I do. I have my children working for me. They come to the events. They do a lot of work on Instagram. They do a lot of stuff for the business. I'm actually taking income that would come from me, and I'm paying them. They are at a lower tax bracket. What about that vehicle you bought, Jake? You bought a nice little vehicle for yourself, too, for the business. Another thing, there are so many things you can do with starting a business. So recap them, brother. Recap them for me.
It's not an electrical vehicle, I'll tell you that much. We got four of them out there, and their V8s are higher, I'll just tell you that much. So, and they all sound bubbly. Gino, here's the deal. We're going to keep it really simple. You buy these multifamily assets. You get cost segregation on them. You refi. You buy more in the future. That's the main play here, just to keep it as simple as possible. Gino mentioned the 1031 real estate professional, Google real estate professional. We love when people start businesses. We really believe the true path to wealth, starting a business, buying real estate, and utilizing Whole Life as your savings vehicle. Gang, it's as simple as that. It's not go to college, get a good paying job, and invest in a money concentration camp, aka the 401k, okay? You start a business, you invest in real estate. I mean, hey, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying the people that are millionaires in my circle, that's what they're doing. It's pretty damn cut and dry.
Jake, in your circle, how many people are throwing out 401ks or 529s?
I don't know anyone with a 401k. What's
nobody.
A 401k? It's a prison camp. They ain't using that shit because they know it's not the vehicle
nobody.
To create wealth.
That's right. Right. Absolutely.
So here's the deal. As always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.